Hey everyone, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Coming to you live this Wednesday night with a midweek message. Doesn't look like there's too many people tuned in at this point. So I'm just going to say a couple things. Some of the messages I've streamed lately have had some copyright issues because of the music that I've been playing. So they've taken longer to post, I think, than normal because I've been playing some music that apparently is copyrighted, and that's also why there's advertisements on some of the more recent videos that are on the church's webpage. The subscription totals are definitely going up on YouTube. We have at least 1,400 subscribers right now to our channel, which is by far the most that we've ever had. So those of you that are tuning in, that are maybe sharing it with your friends, family, etc., we appreciate that. I've made a concerted effort here in the last 4 to 5 days to limit my time on Facebook. I did jump on here briefly before I got started with this and saw that some of the folks, we've had some bad weather here in Michigan today, and I saw some folks in our assembly have had some issues with trees falling and some other things on their property, so I hope everybody's okay. I haven't heard any reports that anybody has been hurt or injured or anything like that, but I do hope that everyone is okay. I just want to go on live tonight with just some thoughts that I've had over the last maybe week and a half. Those of you that follow the ministry, you know that on Sunday, May 31st, I taught a message called Mindful of Thy Tears. And in that message, I addressed some things related to George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, and the riots that were happening in Grand Rapids, which is the city that our church is located in. And then I also announced what the church's plan was moving forward with church and resuming our in-person meetings and so on. And if you watch that, you know that I got very emotional, that it was a hard, I was having a rough time that day with just the gravity and the weight of everything that was going on. And, you know, that came out definitely in the way that I, you know, talked and presented myself that Sunday. And those of you that are part of the ministry or followed us for any length of time, you know that that's not necessarily something that I do on a regular basis. And I want to talk about that, about basically what I want to talk about is emotions in the ministry this evening. Gotten a lot of feedback, and I mean a lot of feedback. I've gotten feedback from people in Norway, from people in South Africa, from people all over the country, and all kinds of people within Grace Life Bible Church since I taught that study. Just trying to encourage me, trying to encourage Becky, encourage our family as far as, you know, what we've, the stress that we've been under in dealing with all these things. And so I appreciate all that. And I do want to address the issue, though, of emotions in the ministry this evening. Probably not too terribly long, but I do have some thoughts about it. First of all, I want to say that if you can't do ministry without experiencing a lot of emotion, when you're trying to teach the Word of God rightly divided to people, trying to edify, trying to see them get saved, trying to edify them in sound doctrine, trying to build them up in the faith, you give of yourself. Paul talks about, you know, that he was willing to spend and be spent. And those things, you know, kind of take their toll over time. And I'm not doing this in any way to apologize for for that study and my tears and so forth, because I'm not ashamed of that. That was how I was feeling at the time. That was real. That was raw. That was organic. And to experience those kind of emotions is really not foreign to the ministry, and that's what I want to talk about this evening. Open your Bible, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to look at some things here that Paul says about the emotions involved in ministry and what he went through. You know, there's this idea out there, and let me just be clear. You know, I do think that believers need to operate and function on the basis of sound doctrine, that they need to be moderated, that they need to be temperate, that they need to be under control, that they need to be logical, and, you know, function that way the majority of the time. But when you're involved in ministry and you're dealing with people, and you have people that are sharing with you what they're struggling with, what they're going through, it takes an emotional toll. And our apostle, the Apostle Paul, if you look at his epistles and some of the things that are said in the book of Acts, you'll see that there's an element of the ministry that is very emotional, and that is taxing, and that it weighs on somebody. And to think that that's not a reality is really not to be realistic in light of the Scripture. Second Timothy chapter 1, start with me at verse 3. Paul says, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." So Paul's remembering Timothy. He's telling Timothy that he's remembering him in his prayers night and day. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." So Paul is very aware of the fact that Timothy, and this is where I got the title for that message, that Timothy is experiencing the emotional toll and the emotional cost of the ministry. And he says that he's mindful of his tears, and that he wants to see him, that he desires to see him, to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be, that I might be filled with joy. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which was in thee by the putting on of my hands." So, you know, Timothy, Paul found Timothy during the Acts period, at a period of time when the gifts were still being given. And, you know, Timothy, although he was a young man, and according to 1 Timothy, you know, he was timid, etc., he had a gift, and Paul wanted to remind him of this. He wanted to say, hey, you know, you have this, and yes, you have tears, and yes, you have emotional toil and struggle, but there's something here that I want to put you in mind of, he says, put you in remembrance of there in verse 6. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The context of that verse, that very popular verse, is really Paul's encouragement to Timothy amidst his tears that he's experiencing in the ministry, that the fear, that the anxiety, that the emotion that he's feeling is not the end of the story, but that there's power, love, and a sound mind associated and attached to the ministry. And then he says in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." So there's going to be, Paul's acknowledging Timothy's emotional state. He's acknowledging that the ministry was hard for Timothy at this given point, that there were a lot of tears, that there was a lot of things going on. And then Paul's exhorting and encouraging him in respect to that, and really saying, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears." And let me just say, I can relate to that personally. After that Sunday message, there were various members of our assembly who reached out and wanted to come visit with us that week. And so we visited with a few people. And just that encouragement that came from seeing those saints and being a part of experiencing that aspect of the body of Christ and one anothering, etc. Okay, come with me over to Philippians. Come over to Philippians chapter 3. There's a lot. Paul actually has a lot to say in his ministry and in his epistles about the emotional side of it. Now, I have to be honest with you. I'm looking out my window here and I'm seeing tons of wind. Looks like there might be more weather moving through. If we lose the connection, it's because of that. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but just so you're aware of it. Philippians chapter 3, look with me at Philippians chapter 3, look at verse verse 18. Notice in verse 17, Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me and walk them, which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. So Paul says he's weeping. And now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and his glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So there's that element, there's that emotional element to the ministry, to the preaching of the gospel, to the endeavoring to see all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's an emotional thing. And when you spend and are spent for folks, that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, that they might be edified and established in sound doctrine, that they might follow, you know, Paul as an example here, there's an emotional aspect of that. And Paul talks about that when he says, and I now tell you even weeping. Come with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, obviously, you know, if you don't need to be a rocket scientist in the arena of math to know that 2 Corinthians comes after 1 Corinthians. We know that there are other epistles that Paul wrote to the Corinthians that were not necessarily scripture or canon because they don't appear here in our Bible. Okay, that's a whole topic for another day. If you're interested in that, there's a bunch of studies on the church's website about issues related to canonicity, right? But Paul's already written, when he writes 2 Corinthians, he's already written 1 Corinthians, and he's really rebuked them. He's rebuked their behavior. He's rebuked their conduct. He's talked to them about being out of order, about following the factionist, you know, groups of people that are following men within the church there. And he really sort of, you know, took them to the woodshed, if you will, as far as their conduct as believers. What we realize when we come to 2 Corinthians is that Paul wasn't like happy about that. He wasn't excited to do that. There was a lot of emotion involved in that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 4. He says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Just look at the language there in verse 4. He talks about how it was out of much affliction. Okay, so there's Paul. He's not excited about what he's doing in 1 Corinthians. He says, out of much affliction and anguish of heart. It grieved Paul's heart to have to write an epistle like that to them. And then it says, and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. So Paul, again, is expressing the emotional aspect of the ministry and what he was feeling and how it made him, how he reacted to that in his physical person. And so again, my point is to say that it's not a realistic thing to think that there's not going to be times in the ministry where people are going to be overcome with their emotion when they look at what's going on and they, you know, weigh out what's occurring and what needs to be done. And there's going to be hard things that are going to be, you know, emotional. And again, I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to get you to see that it's not a situation of weakness for a minister of the gospel to feel these things. It's a natural process of what is going on in the ministry. And yet, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, was just one example of in nearly 20 years where I've shown that to anybody other than my wife and other than my family. But it's a reality nonetheless. Go to chapter 7. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 5. Here Paul is talking. Notice what he says. He says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. So Paul's explaining, he gets into Macedonia there in this context, and he's explaining the cost and the emotional turmoil that he had. He describes it, without were fightings, there was bickering, there were things going on out here, and within he was experiencing a lot of fear. This is from the guy who writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So Paul knew what it was to be afraid. Paul knew what it was to be have anguish of heart, etc. Come back with me. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go back with 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 7. He says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. Now look how he describes his emotional state here in verse 8. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead. So he's talking about the trouble and the how he's pressed out of measure. He was pressed so far, even above strength. I have to say that if I've learned anything, I've learned many things, hopefully, as a result of this coronavirus situation, but one of them is to just trust God. To stop trying to feel like I have to have the exact correct answer to everybody all the time with every situation and every circumstance, and just give the situation over to God and trust Him and trust His Word that in the end the situation will work itself out. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. You know, that's really the key, right? I mean, a lot of the reason why folks have struggled so much with the coronavirus is because they have been put in a situation where they could do nothing about it. Their normal coping mechanisms, the normal things that they would use to, you know, bring stability and so forth in their life were taken away because their circumstances changed, right? And what we need to take from that is that in those moments, in those times, that we need to let God be our strength, and we need to trust in God and trust in His Word and really understand that, like I've preached on Sunday morning when we talked about reconciliation, that God, if we're saved, God is our friend. God is for us, okay? And we need to understand that. But Paul went through that emotion. He went through that being pressed out of measure, above strength, in the so much that he despaired even of life. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Come over to Acts chapter 20. Now, Paul the Apostle, who saw the glorified ascended Christ, who had revelation given to him by Christ directly, is still experiencing all this, still experiencing this fear, this emotion, this heaviness of heart, etc. Why would anyone else who's endeavoring to be a minister of the gospel, endeavoring to preach the truth and have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, why should we think it would be any less for us as we go through things? Look with me at Acts 20. Look with me at Acts 20, verse 19. He says here, verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And then when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I had been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Now watch. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul's ministry in Ephesus was characterized by, as he says here, many tears. So when he writes 2 Timothy and he writes to Timothy and he says he's mindful of his tears, Paul could relate. He could empathize. He could relate to that because he himself had experienced the same thing. He had experienced the same struggle, the same heartache, the same anguish, the same fear and fightings, et cetera, of all the verses that we've looked at so far in this study. And his ministry there, and he's reminding the Ephesian elders of it, that one of, it's characterized there that he served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. The emotion, the ministry is by definition an emotional thing. It taxes your emotions. It stretches you in ways that you would never anticipate. It's very easy for a young person or somebody in the in any congregation to look at the pastor up there as they're preaching, etc., and think, man, you know, that looks cool, that looks like something I might want to do. And we need preachers, right? We need men who are willing to do that. But what those men need to be willing to do is count the cost, you know, count the emotional cost. And boy, I'm telling you, they need to have a wife that is supportive of that. And because if they don't, the ministry is really not going to get off the, it's not going to get off the ground before it's never going to go anywhere because of the emotions that are involved in this, in teaching and in preaching. And again, we have Paul here as the example of this emotion in the ministry. You're in Acts 20. Come over to verse 31 at the end of this charge here to the Ephesian elders. Let's just start at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So Paul knows he's poured all this time, all this effort, all this energy into all the emotion of it and the tears, etc. He's poured all of that into the church there at Ephesus, and he knows that when he's done and he leaves, what's going to happen? That grievous wolves are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul knows this is going to happen. He'd seen it happen time after time previous to this in the book of Acts, and he knew what the adversary's wiles are and how he seeks to corrupt the truth. After Paul had spent all this time and energy and labor doing this. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now look at verse 31. Therefore watch and pray and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. Imagine spending and being spent for the work of the ministry for these folks, knowing that when it was over and when it was time to leave, that it was only a matter of time before the grievous wolves entered in, before the people in the midst rose up to draw away disciples after themselves. And he says, for 3 years I warned you of this day and night with tears. Paul's investment into the Ephesian saints came with an emotional cost. It came with an emotional attachment to that as he's endeavoring to minister to them and to get them grounded and settled and established and rooted so that when this happens, the whole assembly doesn't fall to pieces. And there's that emotional aspect of that there that Paul is talking about. Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you're going to expect a pastor to never function with any emotion, you are really, you know, having an unrealistic expectation. Because the ministry, by definition of what it is an emotional thing. Now, so far in this country, in the United States, the ministry has not been a dangerous thing as far as physical harm, beating, imprisonment, those types of things. Now, Paul had to deal with all of that too. But so far in this country, the ministry has not been a dangerous thing. It's not been a criminal thing. It's not been something that, you know, you had to, you know, do behind closed doors, hush hush. Even in this corona shutdown and when we've been away from the assembly building, we've continued the ministry. And we've done it publicly on Facebook, on YouTube. We've done it in public formats, right, where we could do it and carry on with things. So far we've not had the minister of the gospel in this dispensation, in this country at least, as I had to deal with the criminal or the physical things, but they still have to deal with the emotional things. Look at what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Start in verse 24. He says of the Jews, no, verse 23. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, and labor is more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Now, I have to say that none of that I've ever faced. Neither has any other minister, neither has any other pastor or preacher in the United States. Okay, now there are other parts of the world that where all those things there are very real, all right, as far as the physical toll and what's going on. But know that. But watch what he says here, verse 28. Besides those things, so besides the beating and the robber and the nakedness and the peril and the wilderness and all this stuff and perils among false brethren, despite all of that, besides all that, verse 28, besides those things that are without. So those are the external things. Those are the things that came upon Paul from outside that he had to deal with. Okay? So they're external. They're coming. They're out there. Watch what he says in verse 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So you need to see there that there's the external aspect of that. There's the things that are coming against Paul from without, but then within him, he has the care of the churches that are weighing on him, that are always there. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. All right? So that's emotional. That's going to weigh on you. That's where Paul's many tears came from as he's laboring there in Ephesus, as he's writing to the Corinthians. Paul can relate to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 because Paul had been there. Okay? He knew it. He'd experienced it. He could relate with what Timothy was going through. And so to be involved in the ministry is to, by definition, be involved in a very emotional endeavor. Now, the pastor, the leader, needs to try to not make decisions based solely on his emotions, but on the basis of sound doctrine. But to think that the emotions don't play a role in that is really to not be paying attention to Paul and what Paul went through as our apostle and an example of these things. So he says here, the care of all the churches. So then he says, who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. That God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So what did Paul do with all this care? This care of all the churches, this anxiety, etc., that he had had as a result of this. Come with me to Philippians chapter 4. Well, what are we supposed to do with care? What are we supposed to do with anxiety and worry? Well, we're to pray about it. We're to cast our cares upon him, for he careth for us, etc., right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. So when Paul found himself to be full of care, when he found himself to have that emotional response to the situation that he was in, what did he do? He prayed. What should we do? What should you do? What should I do? We should pray. when we have these things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's been a lot of prayer in the last 10 days. Not that there wasn't before, but more so lately, I will, if I'm being honest. And there is a peace that passes understanding. I can't explain it. I can't logically tell you how it works. Okay? I can't, you know, dot every I and cross every T and explain how it happens. I just know that just like Paul was mindful of Timothy's tears and he wanted to reach out and be there with Timothy and comfort Timothy. And just like, I didn't read the verse, but there in 2 Corinthians, when Paul was despairing of life and he found not Titus, etc., it was when the other believers came to him and they were able to refresh him and strengthen him, etc. And there's a peace that passes understanding. You know, when folks saw my reaction and they felt the need to write to me in Messenger or in email or a text message or to call me or whatever, or send me a card in the mail or a letter, all of those things I received, that's God working through the body of Christ to strengthen me, to encourage me. And that's what Paul wanted to do for Timothy. And why did Paul want to do that for Timothy? Paul wanted to do that for Timothy because Paul knew firsthand what Timothy was going through. And he understood that emotional aspect of the ministry. So that's kind of what I wanted to share this evening. I said that I would be keeping it, you know, maybe a little bit more shorter than some of these things. If you are a member of Grace Life Bible Church, I have posted on the church's Facebook page a written statement of the precautionary measures that the church is going to be following when we reopen on Sunday. If you go to gracelifebiblechurch.com and you look all the way at the top of the page in the upper right-hand corner, there is a blue link that says read the COVID-19 precautionary measures. So you can click that, you can find it there, open that up and read it. Sylvia is also going to be sending out an email to everybody that is on the email list that spells out the same information that I've shared on Facebook that is shared on the church's website. So we're asking that you read that information, you know where we're coming from, and then you plan accordingly based upon that information. So the information will also be posted in the church. So we're trying every avenue that we can think of to make sure that people get and understand where we're coming from and what the precautionary measures are going to be. And I'll just, again, the ministry is an emotional thing. And to think it's not is to not be paying attention to what Paul says about his own experience, about the experience of his fellow laborers, about those who labored with him in word and doctrine. And I hope this is an encouragement to you, and I want to thank again everybody that reached out to me, that called me, wrote me a card, sent me a message, sent me a letter. And I just pray that we can continue to move forward as a church. Pray that you continue to pray for our assembly, for me, for the elders, for the church as we, you know, plan on getting back together again here. Pray for the attitude and the spirit of those who will be joining us, that they'll be able to understand where we're coming from with these precautions, and that they will respect the other believers and the line that we're trying to walk between regathering and being safe and demonstrating care one for another. So, appreciate everybody that tuned in. I hope that you all have a good rest of your week. And I will see all of you, or hopefully all of you, most of you, a fair number of you, in church on Sunday. If I don't see you there, hopefully you're able to pick up on the live stream on Sunday morning. Thanks for your time.